Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, my colliders. It's another Saturday, another Satterslay. It is your girl, Cresta Star, live here tonight with Rob Wilkins, going over AEW Collision on this beautiful May 25th, 2024. I hope we're all doing well. How are you, Rob?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I know Rick and Ridian are got other things going on, so I was asked to come in, and I know I'm not them, but I hope for tonight I can get the job done. So
we got this. It's a fun time. It's always fun over here, Rob. It's always a pleasure having you. Also, I got to give a special shout out to Rick and Iridian. Rick, we heart you, and Iridian, I love you, but you went to the Nigel McGuinness's matches. So guys, if you're not following Iridian on social media, she's having the best time at Double or Nothing, and I'm hating over here in the cheap seats.
Oh, so she's there. That's cool.
Yeah, she's at Double or Nothing. She's having the time of her life. She's over there with rest friends, literally getting her rest life. Not her best life, but her rest life.
That's awesome. Good for her.
Ladies and gentlemen, you too can get your rest life by subscribing to Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business. We've got updates on contracts. We've got all the questions, the Q&A with Sean Ross Sapp, Ask Grapsody. You can find that all for $5 on Fightful Select. Also, if you're having a good time, don't forget to give us a thumbs up on this video. Send us a super chat. We get to read your comment and you'll join in on the conversation. Don't forget to send us a humper chat over at humperchats.com. You get to put in your comment and your dollar amount, and we get to keep a little bit more, and it keeps the lights on. It keeps me happy, Sean happy, Rob happy, humperchats.com. Bing. You ready, Rob? You ready to get into some collision?
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, all right, ladies and gentlemen, starting off, we have an in-ring promo with Jon Moxley, or so we thought, and then the human boiled hot dog, Don Callis, came out. I love Don Callis. Let me say that every time I insult him, it is a form of love and respect, because he is the best worst heel. We couldn't hear anything he said, so I'm going to try to summarize what I could hear from the booze. Callis tells Jon Moxley that we're the same person, whether you like it or not. And I also helped you beat Kenny Omega, whether you like it or not, because you pinned him after I struck him. Every time I look in the mirror, I see you, Jon. I got 24 stitches. I don't know if that's 24 stitches, just like how they sell out the arenas with 89 million people. I don't know. These numbers might be cooked. Jon Moxley, the whole time, is sitting there like, who is this man? I do not care. This STFU chant did not help. But I did like how Don Callis was saying, I had to help you beat Omega. I didn't have to help Takeshita beat Omega. So I think you need my help and think about the damage we could do. Right when John Moxley was like, yo, we could call it square if you let me give you 24 more stitches, which the crowd was already chanting for. Then Takeshita hit him. It was the angle all along. I knew what it was. What did you think about this, Rob? Do you have any thoughts on it? And do you think there's validity to what Don Callis is saying about, you know, you need my help to beat Omega?
No. And the reason why is because Don Callis, he does his job so damn well that I sometimes forget that he's a character. That's how damn good he is at what he does. Because I can't stand him, and that means he's doing his damn job really well. And I honestly was thinking, why stop at 24 more? Let's keep going, you know? Let's go. Keep going, you know? Just take that aggression out, John. You know you want to. And then, of course, my Cinnabon teammate, Takeshita, comes out of nowhere, and he takes Moxley out. And I just want to know where Danielson and Claudio, what took them so long? Were they having Cinnabons in the back? What were they doing? I mean,
that's what come I on. Was curious about too. I was like, why on God's green earth is BCC not coming out here? I knew that no matter what Don Callis was saying, he was jawjacking, unless he locked them in the room in the back. So to cut to the end, Takeshita comes out. They damn near pilmanize Moxley's arm. Well, they do. They pilmanize Moxley's arm and then are standing on the chair. BCC eventually comes out and Claudio's giving a, okay, but that's 10 seconds too late, bro. Like, we needed you like 15 seconds ago, like 30 seconds ago. So I don't know. I get that it's building drama for tomorrow. I have no doubt in my mind John Moxley about to beat up Takeshita. But will Don Callis cheat is the question. The answer is yes.
Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, Takeshita beat Omega like when they had their solo match. And that surprised a lot of people, too. I mean, even though I think it was a good thing. So part of me is kind of wondering, like, you know, will Takeshita get the rub again? You know, so as of right now, I still lean towards Moxley because he has that belt on him. But we shall see. But I think what they did tonight was good, and that crowd, that Vegas crowd, was great. They, it was weird. You know, the one thing that I will always say that's weird to hear is hearing AEW crowd chant the what. You don't hear it much. You know what I mean? So it was odd. Not that I didn't get mad at it because I'm so used to it, but it was different to hear it from them. And it is what it is when it comes to that, but. They were really loud with Callis, and that's a good thing. He was getting that heat, so that helps the people at home like not like him even more. So it was a good segment overall, I thought, too.
I agree. Don Callis is very easy to hate. I do agree, but I feel like with the what chance, especially when it comes to AEW, in WWE, the what chance are kind of just whatever. In AEW, I feel it's coming from a place of disrespect.
Yeah, it is.
That the what chance precipitated the shut the up chance. Like, get out of here, Don Callis.
That's true.
I'm so sick of you. After that, we had I don't know if this, at first, I was like, is this a trios match? Was this a handicap match? I wasn't sure what was going on. But then we got Tanahashi on Saturday night television for the free. For the free? Just giving it away like that? I think Veda Scott tweeted Tony Khan saying the president of New Japan is here saying, and who said all politicians are bad?
Yeah, true.
I popped. What? I mean, this match to me was a schmoz and kind of fast. But in my opinion, seeing someone like Tanahashi on TV, again, for the free, I love how AEW integrates and shows New Japan wrestlers. I love how they introduce them to a hot crowd, and Vegas was hot tonight. So I'm going to give you guys the hits. Please go and watch this if you want to see the Righteous get beat up. That is the best way to describe this match. There was a nice scoop slam into a double stomp from the get-go on Dutch from Claudio Castagnoli. There's a double nut swing into a neck breaker from Team BCC into a guillotine choke over the guillotine choke over the top rope that Garcia did. Let me just tell you, I'm obsessed with Garcia. I loved him before, but now I'm obsessed. he gets so much better in the ring every time you see him. And I feel like no matter who he's against or who he's with, his style is so versatile because he could be a grappler. You're a wrestler. I definitely remember that. Him doing the 10 punches and then going up for the fist, that's sports entertainment peak. And I love how they always have Daddy Magic on commentary with him. Tanahashi hits a frog splash off of a sling blade on Vincent for the pin. We did get Dutch getting swung around, and honestly, 10 out of 10, because I love a little comedy. But I feel like this was just a match to get Tanahashi for people to go crazy. And it worked. It worked. I went crazy. I can't speak for anybody else, but I went crazy. Rob, what did you think about this match?
Oh, it was fun because of what we got out of it. Tanahashi, you know. So seeing him with that hot crowd helped because they freaked out, and that's a good thing. And you get, like you said, the comedy. I'm happy anytime I get to see Lance Archer. I'm a big fan of his because he just beats the hell out of people, and I just enjoy that. So I was happy with this match because you had Claudio and Lance Archer in match with Tanahashi. I mean, those three, just if they let all three just go at it, it's just fun for me because I just like watching people beat the hell out of each other. And that could have happened if they would have let it go a little bit longer. But what you said about Daniel Garcia is spot on. He gets better and better. And with all the people that are in the back at AEW, it's a lot of good people to learn from.
No, he is incredible. And I will also say this, again, I cannot express enough that we are in a renaissance of professional wrestling. So seeing Tanahashi on American TV on a Saturday night is crazy to me. Crazy, bonkers, for free, for an American, a decent time.
Yeah. And you know what's great is Tony Schiavone, he started it like at the beginning. He did my thing that I've been wanting him to do. Said, we're on the Superstation. And like, just that brought back the WCW Saturday night feel for me. So I was happy. You know, when he said that, if they could have just started the show at like 6:05 instead, it would have been like
not the 05 time slot. I remember the 05 time slot. Yeah. I definitely remember.
It was so confusing for me.
It always ran late. We know what was up. We know what was up. The movie came on before. And then wrestling comes on. Sometimes most of the time that still happens on USA. Mm-hmm. After that, we got a video package from our EVPs. I was sports entertained because what in the politician was that? They use such buzzwords as we strive to make a better wrestling competition. We do all of these things for you. And what do we have? Ungrateful Blackpool, violent Blackpool Combat Club. Then they had them out here kissing babies, signing people's heads. This is peak. As some would say in the wrestling community, this is cinema.
I wonder who that was.
No, this was, I was sports entertained. This was so bad. This was great. This was great. Because it's the way that it was literally every politician wet dream in a promo. This guy is going to do this thing, even though he's an obvious slime ball. But these guys who want to save you are jerks, and they're butt lickers. And that's all they do is go out here and rob grandmas. I was sports entertained. Yeah. I don't know if you have any notes on that.
No, basically, this has been very entertaining because when the Young Bucks are just absolute pricks, that's when they're at their best. And I think everybody can agree with that. And the fact that we're seeing, granted, we didn't get to see any Okada like in this, but the fact that Okada's with them and he's kind of being a prick too, and Jack Perry's being a prick, I absolutely love this storyline. It is kind of, I do think that there needs to be a week where we see they just totally get their ass kicked, but I don't think that's going to happen at the Anarchy in the Arena match. So I'm just very curious, but I did enjoy this, and they got shoes to sell now too. So
you got to do the merch world tour. Yeah. We then got our second wrestling match of the night, which was Lucha Bros, Pentagon Jr. I don't know if he's still Pentagon Jr., but I'm gonna call him Pentagon.
Yeah.
Pentagon and Ray Phoenix versus the Guns. I definitely, in my notes, I wrote ass boys. I'm sorry. Danhausen messed. He cursed y'all for good. Like, Danhausen got you, girl. They got you. I do love when they come out with mini Lucha Bros.
Is it wrong that I wanted the mini ones to wrestle the Guns?
And I feel like that would have still been a good match, and they still would have pinned the Guns. And is that crazy? Okay. Yeah.
I'm all for kids getting kicked. That's all.
Honestly, I put Lucha Bros and Baby Bros. They remind me, if you've ever played Super Mario Brothers, it was a game for a DS, Super Mario Brothers Partners in Time, where you got Baby Mario and Big Mario carrying around Baby Luigi and Big Luigi. That's what that reminded me of. I'm like, oh my goodness. I want them to beat up the ass boys because I think they could. I honestly have my money's on baby bros.
Man, I like, that's the thing. You know, they probably could do some stuff in the ring. I mean, knowing who their pops or uncle is, you know, that's they probably know how to do some things. I'm willing to bet. Put them in there. So
let's see. It would have been.
Yeah, run the ropes, kid.
I'll tap.
Yeah, run the ropes, kid. Hey, Billy Gunn used to do that with his kiddos, so why not?
That's a fact. Matt Hardy's kids, come on now. Everybody wrestles. Everybody eats.
Let's put all kids rumble, just wrestlers' kids. Put them all in one. That'd be good stuff.
This match was really unexpected for me, even though I felt like let me not say unexpected. Because I'm thinking for Double or Nothing, what are we going to do with these trios titles? So I expected Jay White to meddle. And therefore, then the Lucha Bros would be inserted. But to pin Austin clean? Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at it. I'm sorry. I read what I wrote about Tony Schiavone being doing the most, and Nigel said, you really proved a point there, Tony. Nigel McGuinness was also a menace tonight on Mike. I love Nigel McGuinness's commentary. He was just a menace tonight. I mean, at the end of this match, I'm gonna just say that the ass boys got worked this match. At the end of this match, there was a fear factor on Austin Gunn, and then Ray Phoenix dove out the ring to stop Colton from breaking up the pin for Penta to get the pin on Austin. Pac comes out to congratulate him for a second. This is the second time I've seen Pac not looking as sweaty as I'm used to. He looked kind of dry, and it was kind of odd. I don't know what happened. Make Pac wet again. So we get tomorrow a Unified Trios match. What did you think of this match, Rob? What do you think about the match now tomorrow?
Oh, you know, so this match, I was very surprised that it ended the way it did. I was fine with it. I was just very surprised by it. I think I'm with everybody here. I've been wanting to see Jay White do his own thing for a while now. But that's just something that I don't think we'll be seeing yet for quite a while. So it's one of those things where I thought this match was good. It was solid. Tomorrow night's match, I was hoping that we'd see Death Triangle get these titles, but now I really don't know. I really don't. I enjoyed this match. I did. And I do still wish the kids would have wrestled the Guns instead, but for what it was decent. And I think more than anything, when I watch Jay White, I just want him to do, like, I want to see the Jay White that we remember, you know?
I think that's a point that me and Iridian bring up all the time here on the channel. And I think even Rick has said it as well, where it's like, I think this is cool what Jay White was doing with Juice Robinson, wrong drink. But also, adding the Guns was cute for a moment. Even adding them with the Acclaimed. But I feel like at some point we lost the plot with Jay White, because Jay White is known for turning on people. That is his thing. He walks his own path. And I think that you have a mega star, and I don't know what we're doing with Jay White. I will also say that AEW right now has the same problem that TNA and Impact have. Their singles title contention, even at the lowest card, it's stacked. Everyone is stacked. So Jay White doing this puts a light on him, shines on him, yes. But who is he going to go after? Certainly not Swerve. You know what I mean? Certainly not Adam Copeland. Certainly not Jericho with the learning tree. Like, so what do we do with him? We want to put him in a place where he's visible. But at the same time, it's like, bro, like the international title, something. Eddie Kingston had 3 titles. I love Eddie Kingston. So no Eddie Kingston slander. I'm just saying for comparison. You know what I mean? So I get it. I get it. Because I think Jay White should be by himself as well. I kind of hope that the Death Triangle takes it. I kind of hope that Death Triangle takes it, because I do think they deserve a trios title run. But I also want to see this bang bang gun angle end neatly, not just rush. And I feel like that would be rushed, if that makes sense.
No, spot on. The way I always thought the guns would end up, like, either getting kicked out of this or joining back with their dad. Like, that's the way I always thought this would go. And for a little while, I was kind of confused with what they were doing with the Acclaimed. That added a lot of confusion. But we'll talk about the Acclaimed here in a few minutes. But this, Jay, I think it just comes down to me just not really expecting to see Jay White like this still. And it's getting hard for me to be used to. And granted, it's been a couple of months, so why is it still taking this long for me to get used to it? I don't know. But if Death Triangle does not win the titles tomorrow night, I really, really have no idea what is going to go on from here.
I did see a comment in chat, and I agree with what they said about they just probably needed a better storyline or better opponents. But I don't know. I don't know. I think at this point, it's a little bit far too gone for that. I think either we do it nice and neat or quick shot to the back of the head. Sorry, O'Yeller. I'm just being honest. Like, Death Triangle would be a good way for Jay White to be like, you guys suck anyway, and I hated you guys from the beginning. And maybe Juice Robinson comes back. Maybe there's some giant Bullet Club they turn on him, but he got kicked out of Bullet Club, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting, per se, to see what goes on here.
We'll see what happens with that. We have a backstage in this segment next with, I believe her name is R. Kitty, because Chris Jericho made a joke about it. It's like, your name sounds like an arcade. And I'm like, I hope that's your name. And if that's not her name, please correct me in chat. So I want to get this young lady's name right. But welcome to the AEW team. She seems new. I don't know who that woman is. Big Bill sounded so eloquent. I didn't listen to what Chris Jericho said. Do you have any notes?
Chris Jericho, I'll just say this. Chris Jericho trying to be nice is just weird. You know, it's just so weird. That's really all you can say. The funny thing is that this is somewhat entertaining to me, because I know it's half-assed. You know what I mean? Like, Jericho's doing this on purpose. And I know a lot of people don't like Jericho, and I completely understand. I get what they're saying, but he's good at what he does when it comes to these promos. He's always obviously been great at these backstage segments. And this one, I was just more intrigued this time with Big Bill talking the way he was talking. I was very like, who the hell is this guy? I know he was 7 feet tall, but what the hell? This is not the guy I'm used to. So I thought this was actually pretty good. And I see it in chat here too. The thanks, Brian, at the end. That was
pretty good. Funny. That was stupid as hell. That was funny though.
Yeah. Yeah. Even I thought that was great. So, and Brian Keith is just badass. So I'm okay with that too. Just get him on my TV. Let's go.
Same. The next match, if you closed your eyes, spun your chair around, it was over. It was Kyle O'Reilly versus KM. He taps this man out with a triangle. That was the match.
Yeah, and it was a quick one. Hey, he got, the way I look at it, sometimes we need these little short matches, and they got Kyle O'Reilly on the card, so I'll take it. He might get involved tomorrow night, too. You never know with that steel cage barbed wire. They're going to have to get somebody out of that barbed wire for Copeland, so maybe he knows how to work those scissors or something. Who knows? I don't know. And not scissors, but they'll get it taken care of.
Yeah, something's going to happen, and they got to keep Kyle O'Reilly hot. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Next, we had an in-ring promo. Well, we had a Mercedes Moné versus Willow Nightingale recap. They showed you everything, and then that led into a Willow Nightingale in-ring promo. Hold on. Sorry, y'all. I was at a whole bunch of wrestling shows. I went to House of Glory yesterday. I was yelling. My voice is gone. I'm so sorry.
What happened?
I don't know. I think I clicked something. I'm a professional streamer. I promise.
I was like, oh, no.
All right. So Willow, first of all, she comes out there looking super cute. She's fired up. And she said, we're gone past respect, Mercedes, because you're doing too much. I'm going to wreck you tomorrow. And I believed it because I've seen her pounces and they're deadly. She said, I'm going to make you wish you were back on the shelf. I was like, ooh, that's cold. You can't say that. That's cold because you're the one who put it. That's me. That's cold. That was me. Then she also said, listen, I 5 years ago, before I even got here, was almost paralyzed. And I'll be damned if I let you end my dream. And I may not be 100%, but you can't beat me at any percent. I was like, oh, Willow, that was cold. That was cold. She said, I could be at 2%. You still couldn't beat me. I believed it. Oh, man, this promo to me was the best promo I've seen Willow deliver in AEW. She let this girl have it. And you have to let Mercedes have it because her mouth is slick. What did you think of this promo, Rob?
Well, you know what? This is Willow Nightingale, right? And this is the MGM Grand in her hand. She had that crowd in her hand perfectly. And you're right. That was the best promo that she's had, in my opinion. And what I also enjoyed out of this is she brought up the past, not only talking about Mercedes, but she was also talking about her past, talking about the broken neck, which I completely forgot about. And then she talked about the traveling. You get people. The one thing that wrestlers can do really well is when they can relate to people with their storylines. And Willow was doing that with her promo, and that did really well. Really good for her tonight. And I think a lot of it is just everybody loves Willow. So why not, right?
I've always said that when you have someone, baby faces, white meat, blue-eyed baby faces are really hard to come by. Like through and through. I think since I started watching wrestling 5 years ago, for real, I've seen it with Bayley, and now I'm seeing it again with Willow Nightingale. This is, you want to cheer for these people. You want them to win. So it is super heartbreaking when they lose. When they win, you cheer twice as hard. So I'm glad that they're running with it. I unfortunately feel like she's going to lose tomorrow. I feel like Mercedes is going to get her lick back, or Mercedes, like, she's going to cheat. Maybe she might win. I would love for Willow to win, but I feel like Mercedes is ready to cheat. That's just how I feel. I don't know about you. How do you feel about tomorrow? Do you think Willow is going to retain, or do you think Mercedes cheats her out her boots?
Okay. So what I think happens is I do think they're going to put the title on Mercedes because it makes business sense, obviously, to put that belt on her. Even though I love Willow and I would be perfectly fine if she wins, I do think that shenanigans will be happening. I know a lot of people think we'll see Statlander possibly turn. Yeah. I could actually see Statlander and Malcolm, or excuse me, Stokely, turn or do something. I can totally see that happening. But I would be perfectly fine if Willow wins. And yeah, the other thing too is I know one thing. After this match, I just know that I still want Willow to be a face, and I want Mercedes to be either what she's doing now or a total heel is what I want. I don't want her to be a face yet.
I don't want her to be a tweener either. I think Mercedes, like you said, with the Bucks, is peak when she's being a jerk, because she's a great jerk. If Eddie Guerrero is your hero, it tracks. Like, Eddie Guerrero was an amazing jerk. Like, king of heels, in my opinion. But yeah, I do see a way where if you have Stokely and Stat turn on Willow, this way you can keep Mercedes and she goes for a different feud, her first feud away from Willow. Willow can feud with Statlander for a bit. And then Willow's like, I'm done with Statlander. Now I'm trying to get back to my championship. And they can either have a 2 out of 3 or whatever it is. And I think that run back is going to be salty and sweet. And it's going to be a great match. It's going to be a great match tomorrow. And when that eventual match happens down the line, that's going to be even better.
Yeah, exactly. I could see that. I could see Double or Nothing a year from now being a Mercedes versus Willow, like just running it back.
Yeah, no, it'd be Mercedes versus Willow 3. That'd be super dope. Yeah. Imagine, can you imagine?
That'd be cool.
We get Lexi Nair backstage with Trent. And this mean Trent, I'm not used to it. Like the TikTok meme. Oh, brother, why are you so mean, brother? What is that, brother? Like, why are you so mean, brother? I mean, I get it. It's the same thing that happened with Wheeler Yuta. I'm tired of being a fucking joke. I get it. And the only one who's getting over in this joke is Orange Cassidy. He's a narcissist. What about me? We started as best friends and we just got left behind us to keep cheering for you. I get it. But at the same time, heck that. A wild Rocky Romero appears and says, hey, listen, I don't want no beef. But after this, after y'all get this out of your system, I get it with wrestlers, we settle it in the ring. Can we be cool again? Do you think... is it possible at any time you and maybe we could all be friends again? Trent said, absolutely not.
Yeah,
don't you ever fucking interrupt me again. Yeah. I was like, yeah, Rocky Romero.
I was ready for Sue to come out like and grab his ear and just tell him, like, you're coming home right now, mister. Like, that's what I was.
Right now, I think he might hit Sue. Trent is on one.
Yeah, he's mad. He's doing really well with this character. I like it. Or his art, story arc. Trent Beretta being a prick has been good TV.
No, this is really good heel work. But it's, again, I understand the motivation. It is the same motivation that led Wheeler Yuta to be like, yo, I'm out of here, bro. Why am I staying in here? Everyone in this group is a joke, except for Statlander and Orange. I'm tired of being a cheerleader. I want what's good for me, and I respect it. I respect it. I don't know. My brain just said, whatever you're about to say, out the window. Goodbye. We get then a four-way tag match. House of Black with Brody King and Buddy Matthews, Gates of Agony, Toa Leoa, Bishop Khan, The Infantry, Captain Sean Dean, Carly Bravo, The Acclaimed, Max Caster, and Anthony Bowens. Now, before we went live, I had asked Rob a question that was posed to me in my Discord while we were watching AEW together. Is Max Caster trying to get fired? Because I don't want to make the insinuation. That's not what I do. I'm in the business of telling you what I saw, okay? I just see and say, like I see and say. I don't read, okay, baby? Reading is ghetto. Reading is for ugly people, and I'm a beautiful girl. That being said, I am the first one to put the hat back on and say, I'm glad we're back on the Acclaim is corny train. But this has gone beyond a little corny, like golden showers and penis tip. I get it. But like, you fumbled your bar once. You never found your magic. I don't know what's going on now. Like, I don't know. Rob, before we get into the match, what do you think?
Well, I just find it, that's the thing. Like, he it seems like he just tries to outdo himself, Caster. Like, that's the thing. It's really hard for me to think that he's trying to get in trouble by any means. I don't think that's it. Because that would just be really weird to me.
That's a good point.
I think he does try to push the envelope and see how far he can go. But I would be at that point too, where I, like Pile Driver says in the chat, I think the raps are hilarious, but they can sometimes be cringe when you don't know. Like, my thing is, I hope he tells people before what he's going to say sometimes, you know, like, otherwise somebody's going to get that like stiff shot in, you know, on them.
I don't even think that they're hilarious anymore. Like,
it depends. Sometimes, like, this one tonight was cringe, but I'm talking about like some of the other ones where I'm just talking in the past in general, but this one tonight was just rather cringe. And I don't like, it's just weird. Like, sometimes you just can't tell what is he trying to like accomplish with
yeah, this. I don't know what your point of view is.
He's making himself look
silly.
He's making himself look worse. I think, but
no, I agree. Because before it was, I'm running you down, I'm gonna do my little cheap heat, maybe hit you with something topical. Okay, whatever. And like you said, tonight it was just like cringe. Like, I don't know, dogs. Like, I feel, and this is just me, just my opinion. I'm gonna look at the title, Lee Jabroni. So before you type, it's my opinion. I feel like Max Caster, when he stumbled on his rap that one time, has lost that little bit of magic. And whatever that moment did to him, I don't know how we get it back. But my fear is that it goes from cringe to ugh. You know what I mean? I don't want that for the acclaimed. I may say they're corny. And that's just me. But I don't want them to go to, ugh, not the, I'm, oh my God, ugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, that's the thing. We're talking more about this than we probably are the match. And I just think it's something where maybe somebody in the back needs to kind of read the room with these raps, because sometimes they just make them very why do they need to be so cringe at times? You know, that's my biggest thing.
I think maybe we save them for like pay-per-views when you've got like a real blood feud. Maybe get back in the lab or like give yourself some time to build up. And that was always a suggestion we've had, myself and Iridian, is like, give yourself time to build up raps. Maybe not every week you got a rap. Give your throat a rest. Sometimes I be wanting to give my throat. I don't talk every week. I do. I talk all the time. But like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you gotta like go back to the lab. You could have did something for Double or Nothing tomorrow if you were on the card. You could have did something for another pay-per-view if you're on the card. You know what I mean? I would do it for that. Maybe save it. Make people miss it. Cause I think with it being, before it was hitting, and now it's hit or missing. And I feel like it's more missing than it's hitting. And again, I don't want the acclaim to go from everybody loves the acclaim to, ugh, the acclaimed. I don't want that.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, like, I just would want, if anything happens, it's just me wanting Anthony Bowens to get a singles run. So,
I feel like that's selfish of me to say, but that's how I feel too. It's like, whatever's happening with Max Caster, it shouldn't affect Anthony Bowens. And I would love to see him for an Intercontinental. Take it off of Roderick Strong. I would love to see that. Take it off of Roderick Strong. Do it. Be a menace. I would love to see. Anthony Bowens versus Eddie Kingston would be a match I didn't know I wanted to see. I don't want Eddie to lose. I'm sorry, Anthony Bowens, but that would be a stiff match. Tell me that wouldn't be a good match.
Oh, it'd be a good match. It'd be good. It'd be good to see type stuff.
All right. So now let's get into the actual match. Since we've talked about this rap that apparently I said wasn't good, but we spent like 10 minutes on it.
Yeah, I know. He got the job done, I guess you could say, right?
He got us talking about it. He said, Of course you're watching. Of course you're watching, Cresta. Of course you're watching.
Yeah.
I said in my first notes, yo, why does Max Caster hate his job? Max Caster is a nuisance. Let's talk about the meat spot. How they had the two meatiest men in that match, Brody King and Toa Liyua literally just throwing every, swatting the smaller men out of the ring, trying to get some to just go meat, meat. And y'all know I love a good meat division. Super Meat Boy was my favorite.
Those two, they are something else. Brody King just entertains the hell out of me.
Such a good stiffing strike. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying Brody King entertains the hell out of me, just the way that he is. Just because, you know, like you're right, you get the just two big sons of bitches in there, and they just beat the hell out of people, and I like that. I thought it was good, and you know that, and I think the right team won obviously tonight too, House of Black, because they need it more than anything. Because I think Malakai is going to lose tomorrow. I just do.
I feel that way as well, and that's a little frustrating for me. I'm not going to hold you, because I feel like, what, again, they were trios champions, House of Black, and they're menaces, and Malakai always loses. I don't know. Stinky.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with what you said there. The other thing too is this version of Adam Copeland, where he just wants to just, I mean, we got to see the Brood kind of fella come back, and granted, they made themselves look like ass the last week with that blood spot, but you know, it is, shit happens. We both know that, but
the unholy afterbirth, according to Nigel McGuinness. Yo, who wrote that line?
He did, because he's that damn good. That's what's the best about him. I just absolutely think he's great. He makes Collision that much better too.
Nigel's commitment to unending hate makes Collision so much better. Honestly, his hard work, the crowd hating Don Callis and Stokely Hathaway being hater of the year, honestly, 10 out of 10. And I will say, as a dark horse pick, FTR, because they be hating on the low, but it's not like the way Nigel McGuinness and Stokely Hathaway be hating. They hate differently, but they're haters too. This match itself was pretty much, how many of us does it take to kill Brody King? And the answer is not, there weren't enough people in the ring. For some ungodly reason, halfway through the match, the Acclaimed and Gates of Agony start beefing. They go to the back, which leaves the Infantry and House of Black to fight in the ring. And poor Carly Bravo saw his life pass before his eyes with a cannonball from Brody King for a House of Black win. Why did they start brawling and going to the back? Because
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get that. Are these, if it's the start of a storyline, okay. But they got a lot to do, because it doesn't make sense why they hate each other already, like, or what happened. Because they don't have a background, from what I remember. They haven't feuded before at all. Gates of Agony, it seems like we see them, like, once we see Gates of Agony for a little bit, they kind of die off, and then we don't see them for a while, and then they come back and do their thing again, and they're in the same spot. So I'm hoping this at least leads to something for them, but we'll see.
Gates of Agony have the same problem Lance Archer does. You see them, like you say, you see them for a little bit. I don't want to say that they serve their purpose and then they disappear, but that's how I feel. And I don't like that, because I think Gates of Agony clearly tonight showed you that they've got the stuff to go in the ring. Even Khan in the beginning wrestling, oh my God, who was it? Because he was going hold for hold with old boy. I think it was Buddy Matthews. Yeah, it was Buddy Matthews. He was going hold for hold with Buddy Matthews, and you're not losing an inch, bro.
Yeah.
I really enjoy. I enjoy all of these teams. But again, I just want this to do something for House of Black. I don't know where this is going, but I can tell you one thing. We can make a safe bet with BetOnline about where this is going.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Bet responsibly, because if you ain't got no money, don't spend anymore. That is a good song for you to have in your brain every time you go to spend money. We now get a video package from Adam Copeland addressing what we were just talking about with House of Black. Now, I was not considering it from this way. But Adam Copeland brought up a good point. He is known to be a master manipulator. True. He was like, and you said, imagine if I had to bend the knee. What if I want to bend the knee? What if I win? And now this is House of Blood. Ooh, spooky, scary, spooky. Now, when he first suggested that, I was like, oh, that's going to be great. But that's not going to work for two men in particular, brother. Mm-hmm. Malachi Black and Adam Copeland, because who's going to lead that? Malachi Black bending the knee to you? Ugh. You bending the knee to Malachi? Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, love.
It won't be long. Yeah, it wouldn't last long, that storyline.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. I'm quite intrigued. I never thought about it from this way. Oh, maybe these two will beef. Maybe these two will join forces. I'd be interested into seeing Adam Copeland doing a spooky LaDuca run that I feel like he was denied in WWE. Cause Judgment Day, whatever. It happened. Yeah. They're better off. Everyone's a winner. Some people are better off. But I would like to see Adam Copeland, because it's very obvious to me that he wants to do a gimmick like that. Let him be. Let him be great. Because we know this is all culminating with him and Christian being a piece of crap at the end before he retires. And I can't wait for that. If this is the segue for him to be a piece of crap, oh, I can't wait. I just don't know how that's going to work. I want Malachi Black to win. I'm going to be honest with you. My name is Cresta. I'm also known as Frank. And that's what I'm about to be with you right now. I want Malachi Black to win. I think Adam Copeland won't look bad losing here. I think Malachi has been needing a win. And I think that having that power struggle dynamic and watching Copeland bend the knee, and it's a will they, won't they, are you turning Matthews and King against Malachi? I'm interested in that. I'm hooked on that. I don't know how that happens. And that's the good thing about being a wrestling fan. You got to watch and find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that I do hope we see, part of me would love to see Gangrel make an appearance tomorrow. That's one thing I would really love, because let's be honest, you know, that's what I thought of the other night when we saw that. And they could have somebody to blame on that. He could be like, I'm sorry, I haven't done this in a while. That's why I missed.
You know? You can blame Paul White. Big Show done flip-flopped on somebody so many times. It's fine. You can blame Paul White. He still worked there with me.
Yeah, he's still there technically. Yeah. I mean, he's getting paid anyways.
After that, ladies, we do get a promo from Toni Storm. Now, I think there is a fine line between cringe, rude, and damn, that's good heel work. And Toni Storm sat right on that tightrope between all of that. What Max Caster lacked in his raps, Toni Storm did here. Now, I do think it was out of pocket for her to call Serena's Deeves little twitches. I was like, yo, you're out of pocket. But yeah. This is also the same lady who told Deonna Purrazzo, I'm going to sock you in the box. So there ain't no rules with Miss Storm. She also said, I'm the exact quote is, I'm going to make your Twitches seem like a Sunday stroll. She said, if it was based off of merit, if things in life were based off of merit, the main event at Double or Nothing would be one thing, and it'd be me talking for 40 minutes, and you'd have to analyze me like some artsy fartsy person in a film school, I'm sure. She also said that things in life just happen, bro. If everyone deserved something, everyone would have everything, but that's not how life works. She was healing it up. I thought this promo was great. I'm like, Toni Storm, you're a jerk. You're a jerk. Oh, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And that's, she's so damn good at it that I was even like floored by the Twitch's comment. Even I was just like, okay. It's like, wow, you know, so was not expecting it to go that far, but it was a good promo. And I think it's great Serena Deeb's getting the title shot at a pay-per-view and they're making it a big deal. I did not have this on my bingo card yet, even though Serena Deeb was kicking ass before she got hurt. So it's one of those things where I'm glad she's getting this shot. Toni Storm has done really, really good work, but she's done that with everybody she's worked with. And that's what I'm anxious to see who's next, because I think it's only a matter of time before it's her and Mariah May.
Yeah. And I will say that it does... I would like Serena Deeb to win this off of her, but I know it's not going to happen. Only because if we go back to things making business sense, Toni Storm is just way too hot right now. I think Deeb is due. Deeb is due for something, if you will. And it just sucks. And I think that's a good problem to have. But it sucks because there's a lot of people deserving of a lot of things in AEW, but there's a lot of good people who have the things that the other people are also deserving of. Very compelling, good, compelling stuff. And eventually, like you said, it's going to lead to Mariah May turning on her, which is cool. But it's one of those things where it's like, damn, we could have Deeb, we could have Deonna, but I get it. But damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you said it perfectly, in my opinion. It's, these two are going to have a hell of a match too, I think. I think they are going to have a great match.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Next we get Mariah May versus Layla Hirsch. I'm going to cut the crap. I know you all want to talk about the boob spot. This is my two cents on it. You're going to look anyway. I might as well make the best out of it. It's smart booking. Use what you got. I loved it. I think it's funny. I'm not one of those girls like, this set is back 100 years. That's not me. I think this is funny because you're going to look at it anyway. You're going to laugh anyway. So I might as well. And not for nothing, I feel like we were all thinking that, damn, Layla Hirsch is the right height too. I think we were all thinking, and Ryan May said, I'm going to seize the opportunity. I laughed. I was sports entertained. And I feel like Layla Hirsch was like, ah, bro, that's why she gave her a German suplex right after.
Yeah. You know what that move needs to be called? The motorboat. They just need to call that the motorboat. That's what they need to do. They just kind of like, oh, could you just imagine Nigel be like, oh, she gave him the motorboat. That would have been.
That's the true Mayday. That's the true Mayday.
Motorboat and sons of bitches. So that's from
this match itself was fine. It was a stiff match. Yeah. Layla Hirsch chopped the crap out of her. Mariah May chopped the crap out of her. We did get a finish. I don't even know how it happened. But Tony Schiavone at the end told Nigel McGuinness, you're a grown man and get it together. And I laughed. I will also say that Mariah May leaning into it, smart. Because I got to say it. Like, they're going to look anyway. Might as well make I'm going to be the control of my own destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We get. Sorry, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No. No, it's okay. No, I was just saying it was good. It was good. That's all. That's all I was saying.
I swear to God, I'm not going to step on your toes in real life, Rob.
It's all good. It's all good. I enjoyed this.
Every week you come on here and get harassed by Crest the Star for 30 minutes and then they pay you. Imagine that. Serena Deeb responds in kind next to Toni Storm's response. She called Double or Nothing, Deep or Nothing, which I'm like, okay, branding, I see you. She said, I'm going to stretch her limb from limb and timeless, more like time's up. While I liked this promo, it didn't have the that it needed to retort to Toni Storm's promo. Toni Storm let you have it, girl. And the best you had was, I'm going to stretch you. I mean, I get it. I'm going to let my hands do the talking. Some people aren't talkers. But I'm like, this, for what Toni Storm said, you needed to be like what Will Ospreay was doing earlier in the night with the blood dripping off your head. Talk about, bruv, I live for this shit. You think I give a fuck? I think that's what should have happened. But maybe we're not there yet with Deep. I want to see Serena Deeb win something. I need that. Me personally. We get a Swerve versus Christian Cage video package. I'm going to keep this one short and sweet. When Swerve said, you keep trying to make me a footnote because I'm doing everything. I'm on TMZ. I'm on the podcast. I'm promoting AEW. And they're making you a footnote and they're forgetting about you. That's why you're doing that. Come on now. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. I believe that myself and I believe Rick too, we also said that we don't want them to keep making Swerve like this underdog. That's not how Swerve got here. Swerve got here by being audacious, got here being braggadocious. He got here being the best, doing house calls, quite literally cutting a promo on a baby. This underdog baby, nah, dogs. I think we need to get back to what made him the man. And this video package was absolutely that. Christian saying that, I'm going to take everything from you. I'm going to make you pay for all the blood that my son. I'm like, sir, that's not your son. But Christian Cage is also delusional. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I love Christian Cage, what he's doing.
Yeah, I think what he's doing is awesome too. This is peak heel work. Peak. But I think in order for this to work, because then you know they're going to cheat. This is like fighting Christian Cage is like fighting Jeff Jarrett. There's a million people. There's like fighting the bloodline. There's a million people, bro. I don't know how this works. Something's got to give. Killswitch needs to turn on Christian Cage. He needed to turn three feuds ago. That's where I'm at. He needed to turn. Yeah. The hell? Fly in my house? Oh, no. Look at my mansion. A fly in my mansion? Anyway, damn. Killswitch needs to turn because I don't see a scenario where Nana doesn't die.
Here's life, Nana.
And they don't jump him. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that either that happens or you need to let Swerve win clean because Swerve needs to be a dominant champion. He deserves to be. Swerve is a good champion. And again, I don't like this underdog baby story. What did you think of this video package?
Oh, I thought the package was good. And you said it best. What they're doing with Swerve has been great. But he does, in my opinion, need to win. He doesn't need to win easily by any means, but he just needs to win. And they don't need to make him look too bad. Something that I said a couple weeks ago was I don't know how they'll make it make sense or how they would, but I would like to see Keith Lee be the one that kind of backs up Swerve.
I don't know how that makes sense.
But I don't know how it would work. And I sure as hell know, like I saw somebody say Adam Page. I'm like, that doesn't make any damn sense
that
at all to me.
Less
because,
sense.
Because like you go into, I don't have any kids, but if you went into my house and talked to my kid in a crib, we'd be talking later, you know? So I don't get that part. Keith Lee, the only thing with Keith Lee that would make sense is if, like, it's like, look, I'm getting my title shot, but I'm not, something like that. But even then, it's just kind of like, what? I don't get it. So, I kind of feel like they might have booked themselves in a corner with this because everybody that could have had Swerve's back is, like, not there. Or we don't know who it would be.
We're looking at it from the wrong perspective. How many people have Christian Cage pissed off? It may not be out of respect for Swerve. It may be because I hate Christian Cage more. I'm trying to think of whose people that whole patriarchy has screwed over. My immediate thought is Killswitch. And I'm trying to think of who was the feud before this.
Well, you had Daniel Garcia in there. You had AR Fox. AR Fox could be somebody, but like that could help. I mean, he could obviously help be somebody, like, but he wouldn't be the guy that, like,
AR Fox makes no sense because he was in the thing and they kicked him out first.
Yeah, that's true. Damn. I didn't think of that.
Damn. Yeah. Well,
you know what? Just Tony, get me to Vegas. I'll do it. I mean, I'll get my ass kicked, but I'll do it. I'll be there for some.
Same. I'll do it. I'll help Hangman. I'll take a dive.
I'm a friend of Will Washington, so if I need to step in for his cousin, get my ass kicked. Never mind. They can't afford me. So no.
I'm period. Home. Know your worth. Know your worth, Rob. They can't afford you.
Yeah, they can't afford you. You
can't even afford it.
Yeah. You send me some cheeses, we can talk.
Yeah, we want the finest cheeses too.
That's how we roll.
Nothing, but we want the finest cheeses as well.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Only the finest cheeses here. At Fightful. And yeah, also only the finest super chats. Starting us off right, Ricardo, a little stinger since 88, says, love you, Rob. Love you, Cresta. Love you, chat. Love
right
you
back
too.
At you, Ricardo. He's a good
friends.
Dude.
How many of us have them? We are at the home stretch, ladies and gentlemen. So getting your super chats, your humper chats, we're at the final match, which was a trios match of Brian Danielson versus FTR, consisting of Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, with Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal. Shenanigans abound. This match, I thought, was going to take up the whole 17 minutes that it had about left. I think it started about 9:43. So I'm like, okay, it's a long match. Jeff Jarrett, overbooked. Makes sense. This match, they started putting over that Jeff Jarrett has never lost to Brian Danielson. And you know what? My smart Mark Sterling brain was like, oh, so you eating the pin.
Yeah.
To Brian Danielson. Oh, so you definitely eating the pin, Mr. Jarrett. J-E-double-F. You eating the pin. P-I-double-S. I mean, that's what happened. Right before we cut the commercial break, the first one, Satnam Singh chopped the soul out of Cash Wheeler on that apron. Bro. In the middle of the match, Satnam Singh's hand was the side of FTR Ball's head. Like, you see the way that I'm grabbing this? This is how he was grabbing Dax's head, bro. He was grabbing his head like he was a child. There's no way I'm going to take a chest. I need financial compensation for that. And I wasn't even in the ring. Bro. Satnam Singh tonight was wrestling for all intents and purposes. He was clearing out the ring. People couldn't get close to him. Brian tags in, beats Jeff in all four corners. There's a lapel lock on Jeff Jarrett that gets interrupted by Jay Lethal, who I'm like, I didn't see Jay Lethal but once or twice this match. Jay Lethal said, I don't have time for that. I saw him when that happened, and I saw him when they were sitting down outside letting him, Satnam Singh, grab FTR Ball by the head like this. Kalima, Kalima.
So,
10 points to you if you get that reference.
Well, you know, like Satnam Singh, when he's like, up against somebody, right? I always think back from, I think it was the first Bad Boys movie where Martin Lawrence is looking up at John Sally and he's like, I will kick your ass. That's what I get every
time. Yes,
like,
yes.
That's what I get every time I see him. I'm just like, they're just looking up at him, just saying, I'm going to kick your ass, and they have no shot. And, that's the thing. Singh, I like what Singh brings to that total nonstop arseholes, as we are supposed to call them.
Hey, not too much TNA slander, not in my presence.
No, that's just I think that should have been their name, though. That'd be a great name for them. Anyways, Satnam Singh, he does his job really well, compared to just, man, he just, you look at him and you're just like, he could just rip somebody's head off if you wanted to. That's just the way he looks. And tonight he was doing his job. He was doing really well. And I thought I actually enjoy the guy. I'm not saying that he's going to be winning titles or anything. I just think he does his job really well is what I'm saying. So.
Yeah, no, he plays the big man spot at a very high level. In fact, he took like 4 super kicks, an FTR trigger, and a Bicycle knee, and he was still on one knee That man is a menace to society, and he's 7 feet tall, and what? You can't teach that. We do get a shatter machine on Jeff Jarrett, and I originally wrote Big Rig, but I'm like, oh, yeah, we don't call that no more. So Bryanson gets the pin. It was at that time I noticed it is 9:57. AEW maximizes their minutes. Shenanigans or a promo? And it was a promo. So the promo I thought was pretty good. I really enjoyed Cash's promo. He said, I do this for, yes, AEW, but for the fans, but for the people in the back, for the people who came with us 5 years ago, not just for this company. He said, I'll die for this. Everyone is better for AEW. Wrestlers are better. Locker rooms are better. Every company is better. Fans are better. Everyone's better. And I felt, I was like, Cash, you are the man. But the coldest line was, yeah, we may go in limping in, but we're the only ones walking out. Like, oh, you about to commit murder. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I love the sports entertainment murder. I do. Then Dax goes on to say, we're doing this for the fans that have a shitty day at work or bust their ass 40 hours a week and then come home and spend 2 to 1 hour of their free time watching wrestling and letting me entertain you, letting me be a superhero. And that is something I will always give Dax. People can say what they want about him, but this man is passionate about professional wrestling and he's passionate about his job. And you can't be mad at someone like that. Hearing him talk about it like that in that way, like, bro, you let me be your superhero. I'm indebted to you. You, because of you, I have a platform, bro. So you may not like what he had said, but Dax was like, top guys out for real, for real. It's like, bro, I respect it. A little miffed they didn't let Danielson speak, but we were out of time.
Yeah, that was kind of like the thing too, but I'm sure Danielson spoke afterwards. But, and that's the thing, just the way the promo went, they're always very, what's right? They're very, FTR is just, they're passionate. And I like that. They love what they do. They like the company they're at. They like the fans. They just do that really well. And I do wish that Danielson would have been able to have a few minutes or a couple of seconds at least, but you know, Danielson's going to do all his talking tomorrow with the fist in his knees, I'm sure. So
there are some people in AEW who I feel like I wish they got more time to talk, but you're right. Deeb, Danielson, everyone with a D. Deeb, Danielson, Deanna, these people, they can talk, but they're also good. They're good at graps. They're really good at graps. I don't know what to tell you. They're really good at graps. I had made this joke last week, and I'll say it again. Every time Deonna Purrazzo wrestles, Perry Saturn is somewhere shedding a tear like, you did so good. Him and Dean Malenko are watching her like, technical wrestling lives, man. It lives. Ah, man, what did you think about the after promo, Raja? What did you think about the show overall as we wind down?
You know, I thought the promo, like I said, was good. I enjoyed it. I know, like, some people are just like, that's it. Whatever. Like, I noticed that. Like, I've noticed that a lot recently with people online with FTR promos. Like, it's like, but I like it. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. So I didn't see a big deal. The guys are passionate. I like passionate people. So live it up. As far as the show goes, I thought it was a pretty good go-home show. I really do. I mean, obviously I'm getting the pay-per-view tomorrow, you know, but I think the average fan, maybe it helped them decide to get it. I don't know. But I thought it was a good show.
I agree. I said this on the post-Impact show, and I'll say it here as well. I finally quit my muggle job, so I've demuggled completely, and I'm only doing wizard things. But that being said, I really haven't been watching wrestling for the last 2 months, besides TNA and Collision. And even then, Collision for the last 2 months, hiatus because of basketball, or I've gone to a House of Glory show. So I'm excited for tomorrow because in a sense, I'm going into it with a little bit of fresh eyes. I'm very happy for professional wrestling right now. I think this promo was great. I like FTR. I do. I think FTR are great heels. I think they're great tweeners. they're okay baby faces, but they're anti-heroes at best. You guys will never be baby faces in my eyes. I'm sorry. You guys are two Stone Cold Steve Austins together. I can't unsee that. I'm sorry. You guys raise hell and drink beer. And I respect it. I respect the crap out of it. I want FTR to win. I want them to win, but either Jack Perry's eating that pin or they're going to maul FTR bald, and I don't like that.
Well, one of them's bald, so that helps. So, but yeah, I think the Elite wins tomorrow night. I do too.
I saw it in the chat earlier, and this is something I think we've all been alluding to. Hangman he's already off the deep end. If you don't think that he's meddling tomorrow in that Antarctica in the arena, you're wrong. Yeah, the other side is going to have Kenny Omega, maybe. But that being said, Hangman is a definite. Oh, that man is putting his nose where it doesn't belong. Technically, he's part of the Elite, so his nose does kind of belong in there. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as Omega goes, I don't think we'll see him. But maybe Hangman's ready to come back. Ooh, that'd be good. That'd be good if he can make it.
In his stead, that would make sense.
I would take that. Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys take. I'm sorry. I'm so rude to you tonight, Rob. I'm fired. Oh. Guys, have a good night.
It's probably me, so don't worry.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the both of us, and we're gonna get out of here. Rob, where can the children find you?
Guys, you can find me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern on Fightful Select, I will be hosting the AEW Double or Nothing pre-show. So it'll be myself, Maggie. We also have Ryan from the Mark Order podcast and Chris Doc Mueller from Bleacher Report joining me. So, and maybe Caden. So not sure yet, but yeah. So we will have that going on where we'll pretty much preview and the guys will give their predictions for the show. So check it out. Fightful Select tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, Patreon. It's the best $5 in the business and you're going to get it aggregated from us anyway. Skip a step. My name is Cresta Star. You can find me on all forms of social media at Cresta Star, except on X, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion, Cresta the Menace. You guys have been fantastic. I'm here every Thursday, every Saturday, covering all forms of Fightful things that are TNA and Collision. Guys, you've been beautiful. Your butt looks nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. And we'll see you next Saturday when we have the fallout of Double or Nothing and the Colliders will be back. Say your goodbyes, Rob. Bye.
Peace.
We're
Thank
out
you.
Of here, guys.
See ya.
Bye forever. Bye. And stream.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.